Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Diving right back into it here on a Monday. About an hour and a half left for us here on Fesco and Dusty. Coming up after us, though, Cody, Gold, and Drew from 10 to 2.
Alex is celebrating his birthday today. Brought in a cake for the staff.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Has it already been eaten?
No. Oh, fresh cake. Fresh, uncut cookie cake.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Smash.
Look how excited Dusty got. Cookie cake. Where? I love a cookie cake,
yeah,
man.
That's bad
people
for me.
People who don't like cookie cakes, I don't understand that. It's a cookie.
Can I be a little bit bougie here?
Okay.
I'm excited. Yes.
I only like the cookie cakes where there's like the ring of frosting around the
edge.
That's
all of them, right?
No, some are like loaded. I don't need that much frosting.
Yeah, I get yes.
See, I love frosting. Just
give
me a jar.
The only one I love is the buttercream frosting of the Costco cake. Uh-oh.
See, I just love frosting. I'll eat any kind of icing. I don't care. Like, my kids don't like it. You've mentioned people don't like icing. Yeah. I'm like, what am I missing here? Why do I like it so much? Yeah, I will. Give me a spoon and give me aisle 3 at Hy-Vee, and I'll just go through there and eat the Betty Crocker thing of icing, man. Oh, I love it. Oh, you guys don't? Huh? Why? Tell
it's
me
too
why.
Much.
Too much?
Too
okay.
sweet, too I'm also buttery. Not a sweets guy.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I don't
But
need...
you would smash the cookie cake, though.
Yeah, because it's like a... Yeah. I mean, I'm so...
I'm confused.
No, like, I don't know. Like, that type of cake, as opposed to, like, a cookie cake, to me, just has different profiles. Like, I will say, though, like, I'm picky about my cakes. I like basically three types of cakes. I like the confetti style classic birthday cake. I love a sheet pan like chocolate cake, and I love the chocolate frosting yellow cake. That's about it.
That's it. What about a cheesecake?
Not huge.
No, okay.
It's just like too much.
All right.
But I mean, I will say for like 7 years of my life, my birthday cake was a French silk pie from Tippins.
That's a good one.
Straight up.
That's but cake
they
and
put
pie
the number
are
in
different.
The, I know, yeah, but yeah. Again, not a cake guy.
Yeah.
Love pie.
But you are a pie guy.
Big pie guy.
The strawberry pie from Tippins. I'm going to tell you what, we're getting to that point of the year where the strawberries are going to be coming out again.
Mm.
Get the strawberry pie from Tippins.
Yeah, I love eating pie.
Red All velvet? No, red velvet for you? Either
way
you.
Too.
Okay.
Like, I'd rather have a carrot cake than a birthday cake.
Oh, ooh, I love carrot cake, too.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. But you could have a carrot cake
There's
for your birthday
in
cake.
It. Yeah.
But it's your birthday. If you want a carrot cake for your birthday, you have a carrot cake for your birthday.
Have whatever you want. Yeah.
What about an ice cream cake?
Not a huge fan, because the only thing I love is that little, like, caramel
that
cookie cake.
Middle,
that little.
Yeah.
Yeah, serious. Like, if I could, I'd slice the whole cake. Yeah. I'd take the whole top off, and I would just eat that crunchy part.
That's a good thing. I love that part, too. It's the best part of the ice cream cake. What is that? Is that like Oreo cookie?
I mean, I know nowadays you can get like cookie dough, you can get Oreo, but it used to be like chocolate, vanilla, then they'd have like that little like weird frosting on top, and then you got to let it thaw out for like, I don't know, 2 hours, or you can put it back in the refrigerator.
See, I could eat icing all day on these cakes, man. Like, you know, my wife had a birthday cake over the weekend. I'm like, give me the most icing, man. Like, there's a big balloon like in the middle. I'm like, I'll cut that out.
Yeah. No.
Do we need to put that as the poll question Wednesday? Pie or cake? Which one do you like? I feel like pie would get beat or would win. I don't know. I also need to try the tiramisu from Jasper's.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll try that Friday.
You can try that on Friday. Yeah.
I do love that. Somebody says, I do like the ice cream cake as long as it's kept in the freezer. See, I was listening that day. I do have that. I want to have a conversation because I've thought about this all weekend, and I thought about it, you know, obviously going into the game on Saturday night. Mike Tomlin. I don't think that I have a bad thing against Mike Tomlin. I just look at things in the past where somebody has done something and they're credible, they're good, they have the resume, but for some reason there is a major red flag somewhere along the way. And I think that red flag in Pittsburgh is that it's just time to just go our separate ways. I don't think that's a shot at Tomlin. I don't think that's a shot at Pittsburgh. But like you have mentioned a couple of times, front office has not really set him up for success. Mm-hmm. But then again, like I would feel that if Mike Tomlin is who he is, he should have a lot of say, right? Like opposite situation, Roseman Sirianni. Like if Sirianni goes into Roseman's office, he's like, what are you doing here? Did you set up an appointment? He's like, I'm the head coach. It's like, doesn't matter. Tomlin goes into the head office of the GM. He goes, hey, man, we need to talk. That guy's like, okay, what do you need? What can I talk to you about? Regular season, great. If we, again, he's not a quarterback, but if we compare good quarterbacks to bad quarterbacks like Justin Herbert, Justin Herbert could be the Mike Tomlin of quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Really good in the regular season, has good records, has good numbers. Playoffs come around, eh. Again, he's had Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. He's had Mason Rudolph. He's had Duck Hodges.
Yeah.
So, again, I understand that. But, like, if you are Mike Tomlin and you have the clout that Mike Tomlin has, maybe you have to be like, hey, here's who I want. Here's who we should pick. And if that GM's like, yeah, I don't see the same thing. It's the same thing as a relationship. Hey, I like to go out on Friday with the guys, have a good time. Saturday's all us. If they're like, no, Friday and Saturday's us. It just ain't going to happen. Yeah. Somebody's going to get unhappy. That's going to cause an eruption. You let the fire build. Eventually it explodes. So in my opinion, and we bring up Andy Reid all the time, mm-hmm. it was just time.
Yeah, sure it was.
Now, granted,
yeah.
Andy Reid had a really bad final season, and yep. Tomlin has had good seasons, never been a losing season.
Right.
But in my opinion, both parties can prevail if both just get away from each other. It's been great in Pittsburgh. It's been a great run. He got a title. He's won, you know, tons of games. But it ain't happening in the playoffs. And if there's some sort of rift in their system, then, hell, have Mike Tomlin go to the Bears. Have Mike Tomlin go to the Saints. Put him anywhere. And if he is that guy, then he'll be successful and he shouldn't have to worry about it.
Well, and I don't think I think Mike Tomlin will be successful wherever he goes. But, I you know, why the hate from a lot of people, and I'm not just saying you specifically, but, like, it just seems like more people are anti-Mike Tomlin and more people are fans of this jackass in Miami. Like, we don't give Mike Tomlin the ability to do anything wrong. I feel like Mike Tomlin is at the end where no matter what he does, people are going to be critical. People are ready to jump. People are ready to pounce on one of the five best coaches that this league has right now. And we're celebrating Kevin O'Connell, who's accomplished literally nothing. Dan Campbell, who's accomplished nothing. You know, we can go through some of these other great head coaches that people consider to be great head coaches and celebrate them. But I feel like Mike Tomlin is held to a different standard. And Mike Tomlin has set the standard for what head coaches should be about. Mike Tomlin may end up being his own worst enemy because they win so much, they're never in position to have a bad draft pick to take a quarterback, right? And so as they continue to win, other teams are drafting quarterbacks and getting guys at that quarterback position because the Pittsburgh Steelers continue to win. If the Pittsburgh Steelers really want to do it right, you trade Mike Tomlin, you get draft picks in return, you have a season that doesn't do well, and then you have your quarterback, your Patrick Mahomes, your Ben Roethlisberger again at the top of the draft. But Mike Tomlin isn't going to do that. He's not going to be a guy that goes out there and loses games so the Steelers can find a way to get their quarterback. We celebrate Jim Harbaugh more. He hasn't done anything in this league. I mean, you know, so I just don't understand why it feels like to me Mike Tomlin is held to such a different standard than everybody else. And it's not a coach that we're keeping on who's 7-9 every year, not making the playoffs. They're keeping a guy on who's never been below 500, always makes the playoffs, and wins with no matter what quarterback's out there. Yet he's held to a different standard than Jim Harbaugh, who's going to get praised for losing in the first round, or Kevin O'Connell, or Dan Campbell, or all these other guys. Like, I just think it's a different standard for Mike Tomlin. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
So I can defend that on my part. he has that standard because he's built that standard.
Sure, yeah.
And eventually when you win a title and everybody celebrates you and then you stop winning in the playoffs, he's 8-11 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's not a good record. Marty Schottenheimer was the same way in Kansas City.
Sure.
Him and Peterson rebuilt this team, got it back to the promised land, but what was his problem? He could not win in the playoffs, but he was 14-2, 13-3, 12-4, goes to L.A., does the exact same thing, and they're like, nah, man. 5 years in a row, we can't do this because, again, if you put yourself in the standard of winning, it means absolutely nothing if you do not win when it matters and when it matters in the playoffs. Yeah. And, again, if you go back to his record in the regular season, they have good records in the regular season. That's why they can't draft quarterbacks. Well, if those good records aren't giving you anything in the playoffs, then what are we doing here? And the one thing that I go back to, which, again, baseball nerd here, you know that, Mike Socia won a World Series with the Los Angeles Angels and then just never went back, never had success, would win regular season games, but eventually they just hung on to that title for years and years and years, which I believe was 2003 or 2002, and against the Giants. And it kept going on and on and on, and eventually it was like, hey, Soch, it ain't working. You're gone. We have to get over this old relationship and try something new. Now, unfortunately for the Angels, and maybe it would be the same way with the Pittsburgh Steelers, it hasn't been great since Socia's been gone, right? They had the best record, then lost to the Royals in the opening round or in the divisional round, got swept, whatever. But again, when you go back and look at the standard that he's created, and I'll go even further back on your comment of Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel took a team that was the laughingstock in that division and made them relevant. Now, again, he's had his time. He hasn't built a standard, but he was in the playoffs last year, playoffs previous year, got beat, can't beat good teams. Now his standard is you need to go beat somebody or you're done in just 3 years.
I'd like to see what Tomlin can do with a quarterback like Tua or a quarterback like,
He was 4-2 at Justin Fields bench and let Russell Wilson finish the season. And the last 3 weeks of the season, Russell Wilson was ass.
Now, like, not good. How much of that comes from the top, though, too? And how much of that is, you know, because I will say there's a complete difference between Mike Tomlin and Marty Schottenheimer. Mike Tomlin is cooking the food with the groceries that were brought to him. Marty Schottenheimer changed in the postseason. And I've learned that over the years talking to guys that were on those teams, especially that 95 team when they rolled into the playoffs. What was 95? The Colts? Was that the Colt loss or was that the Bronco loss? Whatever one that was.
97 was the Broncos.
So 95 was the Colts game, okay? They went in with a game plan and Marty changed the game plan on Saturday for a Sunday game. You ask any of those guys, you're like, wait, what? What are we doing? All week we've been working on game plan A and now you're switching it up and going with game plan B. Marty never had confidence in the playoffs. Marty changed quarterbacks when he never should have changed quarterbacks. That ticked the whole team off. Mike Tomlin's going out there and just playing with the operation that was given to him and is playing with the people that were given to him by the general manager. And I'm not arguing that maybe a change needs to happen for both parties, but I mean the standard that Mike Tomlin is held to is just insane to me. I feel like
that first, he built himself.
He did, but also the Steelers have built that. I mean, they've been a good franchise since the 60s.
And if he has that standard and he has that clout, I think personally he should be able to do whatever he wants to do. Then with the standard that he's built and the clout that he's created, if the GM's like, why did you put Justin Fields in that game? Because Russ wasn't giving me anything. Oh. And if you're going to question my ability, who's never had a losing season, then I'm out.
And they did put Justin Fields in. He went spectacular in the limited action that we saw. Right. But, you know, what do you need to do? You need to get better at the quarterback position if you're Pittsburgh.
I mean, Brian Daboll has a playoff win since Tomlin's last playoff win.
Yeah, I know. A lot of that.
Zimmer.
Yeah, a lot of that. But so what? Mike Tomlin is still, like, if all those guys are standing on the street.
Anthony Lynn.
Congratulations, Mike Zimmer, on getting engaged, by the way. You think Belichick is, you know, with the sorority girls, Mike Zimmer.
Zimmer
bringing the blitz.
Yeah. Like, so you can name all those guys. You're still not taking any of those guys to be
Jason
your head coach.
Garrett has a win in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you're not taking any of those guys to run your team over Mike Tomlin.
That's what
right
I'm saying.
Now.
He
and
doesn't.
It's very similar to Andy Reid. Once Andy Reid got here and then got Patrick Mahomes.
And look what happens.
It changes, right? So they need to find a way for Mike Tom, for any coach to have success in this league, you got to have that quarterback. You've got to, like, all these coaches that have success are obviously really good, but they also have a running mate in their quarterback. Sean McDermott and Josh Allen, John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud, Dan Campbell and Jared Goff. Like, they have their running mate. Mike Tomlin hasn't had his running mate since Ben Roethlisberger walked out that door. 10 years ago now.
I would also say the same conversation, because somebody says there are four coaches currently in the league with six Super Bowl wins. Andy has three, Tomlin, McVay, and John Harbaugh all have one. If we're having the conversation about Tomlin, we should have the same conversation about all of them besides Andy. Here's where your conversation can kind of be invalid, but also valid. In the script, I also said if John Harbaugh gets beat by Buffalo this week, you're going to have some sort of conversation in Maryland about what he's doing with this team.
We said the conversation in either Pittsburgh or Baltimore today would have been, what are we doing with our head
coach?
Because
look, Tomlin won in what, 07?
No, they won in 09. Oh, Tomlin. Okay, Tomlin.
It was either 7 or 9. 7, 9?
I think 9, because 7 was Giants.
I had to have been 21, because I went and watched that game in a casino. So again, McVay won his Super Bowl, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So it's still relevant.
Yeah. How long does the Super Bowl relevancy carry for a coach?
I think you get 5 years. Yeah. I think if it's been half of a decade, then it's time to be like, okay, what have you done? Now, again, McVay, still young, still not long. Tomlin, again, has been with the Steelers for how many years?
Almost 20 now.
And he won one title with a leftover roster. Now, again, you've had your debate, I've had mine, with a leftover roster of Cowher.
Cowher doesn't, like, you just took over as Andy Reid had a leftover roster and won 12 games or 11 games the following year.
Everything.
They got the new quarterback. And Alex Smith made all the difference in the world. And, you know, he inherited, what, six or seven Pro Bowl players?
Ben Roethlisberger was still a lot of time left on his resume.
Mm-hmm. In his prime,
and also ran into Peyton Manning and ran into Tom Brady, just like all of these guys are running into Patrick Mahomes right now. Like, if you take Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady off the face of the earth, what does the hierarchy of NFL quarterbacks look like right now in this league? How many more championships does Roethlisberger have? How many more championships does Peyton Manning have? How many more championships does, you know, maybe Eli, whoever? You know, I'm just throwing out names of guys that were kind of just below Peyton and Tom in that era. And if you take out Mahomes at this era, maybe Burrow has a title. Maybe Allen has two. Maybe Lamar has one right now.
I just want the same energy for coaches and quarterbacks. Because if quarterbacks can be great in the regular season, but then they go fumble the bag in the postseason, and they're like, well, he's just not good. He's not a good quarterback because he doesn't win when it matters. If Tomlin goes out there and wins 10 games a year, but loses every year in the first round of the playoffs, why is the narrative different?
Yeah, because I think you also have to look at roster construction as well. Did these quarterbacks make mistakes?
But they've been good all year.
They've lost five in a row to finish the year. That is a little bit on the head coach.
Now they're being like, these guys are JV. Do you think the team gets tired of hearing that same attitude every time?
And that's fair. That's a very fair JV. Point.
These guys are weak. Eventually that is stale and I'm done with it.
And then that's why people always want to have like coaches, you know, have like freak out moments and rip off their uniform and throw the spread.
But
that doesn't work.
Sometimes you need that. That's why the narrative around Vrabel to the Bears was like, you need somebody in there that's a red ass that can wake these kids up. That doesn't always work. Not always, but sometimes a little bit of that can get a little bit of a spark. Maybe Tomlin's like message is getting old.
And there's no doubt. It absolutely. It's clearly not working with George Pickens. The Yankees moved on from Joe Torre.
100%.
Right? Like, everybody moves on, right? It happens over the course of time. It does get stale, but it shouldn't be one of those where Pittsburgh is looking to move on from Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin should be really looking to move on from Pittsburgh.
And again, somebody says the difference, though, the player plays and the coach can't throw the ball to the wrong guy. Again, they were so outmatched against Baltimore, who they see every year, twice a year, beat them once this year already, lost the second time against them, and then looked like they were not even on the same planet.
Embarrassing.
And that's part of coaching. Like, if we're going to have this energy towards the athletes, you've also got to have the energy towards the engineer who's putting this all together. Tomlin's great in the regular season. He's ass in the postseason. He's 8-11.
Yeah, but sometimes, too, we don't ever include the general manager in these, because we don't know a lot of who these general managers are. A lot of these guys, like, you know, hide behind. But, like, I mean, you've got to give the coach the ability to win, and that means you got to give them the best players. And until Pittsburgh finds a quarterback, they're going to be this team. Who that quarterback is for this team, I know you got the Raiders looking for a quarterback, the Giants are looking for a quarterback, the Jets are looking for a quarterback, the Steelers are looking for a quarterback.
And I'm not even saying they have to win a Super Bowl, because somebody on the 8-1-6, it's hard to get to a Super Bowl. I understand that. But it's
win a game.
Just show up in the playoffs. Like, if you are a good coach and you have a good team all year, why does it just completely poof away when you get into the playoffs. You played a divisional opponent.
Mm-hmm. Their last five playoff games, they've gotten outscored 63-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They've scored 0 points in the last five playoff games.
Yeah, it's
a bad game plan.
It's not been good.
We're talking about the offense and the quarterbacks. I agree with you, has not had him. He's a defensive guy. 27 points, 34 points, 29 points, 28 points. Those are four of the last five games.
And I'll disagree with you on that, because I think if you're a good head coach, you're not really beholden to what your quote-unquote side of the ball is. Sean McDermott actually said it yesterday in the interview with Bill Cowher before the game, which I thought was very interesting, when he said, he goes, look, I hired whoever as my defensive coordinator, you know, DC, fill in the blank here, whoever that guy is, right? Joe Brady or Tom Johnson or whatever.
Joe Brady's offense.
whoever the hell his defensive coordinator is in Buffalo, goes, and it's freed me up to be the head coach.
That's fair.
And so, you can't sit there and say that about, you know, well, the defense isn't any good under Tomlin, or the offense isn't any good under this guy or that guy. If you're a good head coach, you're not focused on one side of the ball. You're monitoring everything. You're taking care of everybody. You need me over here in this meeting. You need me in this meeting. You need me in that meeting. I got to go address the media. I got to go beg for money from sponsors. Like, there are so many things that head coaches have to do to have an effective program in the NFL. So I'm not a big believer in that, buying into, well, the defense isn't any good. Maybe they've had some wrong hires, but I think ultimately it comes down to this. If you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter who your head coach is. You're not going to win.
I'll throw one even at you. People were having this conversation about Andy Reid when he was getting bounced.
That's exactly right. They were. And the divorce was needed.
Right.
Just like
I'm talking about in Kansas City. When you lose to Tennessee, Pittsburgh, right, they're like, they didn't even score a touchdown. You lost. Like, what are we going to do with Andy Reid? It's like, again, that's the
cloud. And when did Andy Reid get to that next level? When he got a quarterback.
Right. But again, that's what I'm saying is, like, but it was also back then, Andy Reid's clock management in the playoffs weren't what they are now.
Everything stands out when you don't have Patrick Mahomes, right?
I mean, I guess you can do that. You can just debunk the whole thing. But I'm just saying, like, Andy Reid built that clout as a great coach in the regular season. And then when the playoffs came, he fell short. Yep. And everybody goes, it's Andy Reid. Now Mike Tomlin does it. It's like, well, George Pickens cries.